When the Dust Settles, by Queerx Queen, read to you by Be Brave 13.
I took my love, took it down.
A Stranger Things by the Fic.
I climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills till the landslide brought me down.
Summary. When all is said and done, days later, when Hawkins is condemned and quarantined and the town evacuated, wheelers and buyers divided between four motel rooms in the nearest town with any vacancies left after the Max exodus from Hawkins, it's just Mike and the painting. Or the post-season 4 fix-it the Duffers are too cowardly to write. Author's notes. Wow, so volume 2 dragged my hopes and dreams behind the house and shot them in the head. So this is me longing for a universe where there's still somehow a path for Byler Endgame. Chapter 1. Distance. Author's note. Basically, these boys need to have a few conversations, so I'm forcing them to do so at gunpoint. When all is said and done, days later, when Hawkins is condemned and quarantined and the town evacuated, wheelers and buyers divided between four motel rooms and the nearest town with any vacancies after the mass exodus from Hawkins, it's just Mike and the painting. It's rolled up in his bag now, but he almost doesn't need to take it out to look at it, because he's got it memorized at this point. The dragon and the little figures, the swirl of colors, the texture of paint and brushstrokes. It's one of the only personal things he brought with him, a lifetime of memories left behind because there wasn't enough room in his suitcase. So at least there's the painting. He's sure the reason it must make his chest feel like it's full of balloons is because of what Will said, about what Eleven said, that he was the heart. Holding the painting is like holding those words in his hands, giving him something solid to clutch to his chest. He keeps replaying the way Will said it, the way he looked when he said it. Mike tosses over in his bed and, careful not to wake Nancy and Holly asleep in the queen bed across from him, punches the pillow a few times, exhales a long sigh. Because how can he sleep when his brain is so full of everything that's gone wrong, so full of all the words Will said? L's words, he corrects. This goes on for a few minutes more before Mike hauls himself out of bed, slips on some shoes, and pads to the door. The motel's got a pool, and Mike is heading toward the cool, hazy glow of it even before he notices the figure perched at the edge. A dark head of hair, that bowl cut he'd recognize anywhere, pant legs rolled up so he can put his legs in the water, hunched over a sketchbook with a pencil moving rapidly in his hand. Mike's steps stutter. Something in his chest squeezes at the sight of Will haloed by the pool's blue light. So different and grown up from the Will in Mike's memories, but always still him. "Can't sleep either?" Mike asks. Will must have heard him approaching because he doesn't crane his neck to look, just shrugs half-heartedly, still shading with his pencil. "How could I?" Will says in a tone like he's joking, but Mike knows he isn't. They lived through the stuff of nightmares. Even if they didn't see the worst of it themselves, Mike won't ever forget Elle limp on that table, or a destroyed Hawkins with a split right down the middle. "Ask Jonathan for some of his purple palm tree to light, maybe that would help," Mike says, dropping down next to Will on the ground what feels like a safe distance away, dipping his feet in the pool. He only realizes once he's settled that he's too close, and that their arms are brushing, but it's too late to shift away without it being weird. And why is Mike so hyper-aware of their arms brushing, anyway? "Mom's booking tickets to California," Will's saying, We have to figure out what's next, because they don't think we should stay in Lenora, but either way, all our stuff's there, so... So you guys are leaving again? Mike's stomach sinks at the thought. He'd only just gotten them back. Yeah, I mean, for now, Will says, a wry smile twisting up his face. I'm sure something will end up dragging us back here. Or 11, at least. The lady from the lab said they would be in touch. I give it a week, Mike says, before they're calling in Hawkins' resident superhero. Something in Will's expression shudders and closes off, face flickering with something before going into a mask. What? Mike asks. Will puts aside his notebook and crosses his arms in front of him, not aggressive, but protective, making himself smaller. I don't know, I just... Will says, breaks off, then, all in a rush, I just don't think Eleven likes the whole superhero thing. She just wants to be a person, you know, and you love her for more than her powers, so why do you make it sound like that? The words knock the wind from Mike as swiftly as a punch in the gut. I don't make it sound like anything. You know what you're talking about, Will. Will hunches further into himself. He laughs, short and humorless. I guess not. Sorry. It hangs and falls between them, and Mike is almost angry that Will backed down so easily, like he's trying to make Mike look like an asshole. Mike's just trying to figure out what to say, and while he hesitates, Will speaks up. She's my sister, Mike, he says gently. And that's when Mike remembers that Elle had been lying to him through the letters about life in California, that maybe this is another thing that Will knows about Eleven that Mike doesn't. Another secret widening the distance between them. He told Elle he loved her. Why didn't that fix everything? Why couldn't that be enough? She knows what I think about her, Mike decides. And so does he. He loves her. You're right. Sorry, Will says. Will's hand is tapping a nervous pattern on his knee, and Mike can't draw his eyes away from it in a way that makes him nervous. He wants to reach out to cover Will's hand with his own to still it, like he had when they were kids, but the gap seems uncrossable now. Will's farther than California is from Hawkins. Mike's chest pangs. All of the potential energy of wanting to touch his stupid hand bursts, and Mike redirects it to instead stand up, pulling away from Will and his big, dark eyes and his long, tapping fingers. I should try to get some sleep, Mike says. You should too. Yeah, Will says, and Mike's not imagining the way Will deflates. Yeah. Good night. Night. It's 6 in the morning, and Mike hasn't gotten a wink of sleep. He's staring at the clock on the nightstand, watching seconds tick by, and has been ever since the light through the blinds made it bright enough to see. Before then, it was staring at the ceiling through the darkness, just rotating the words around in his mind like they're three-dimensional, pulling them apart and putting them back together until the words sound like jumbled mush.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
How many times had he said it to Elle that day? So why did it still feel so scary? Why did it feel, not like a lie, but a half-truth? He loved Eleven, and Eleven knew that. Screw Will and his anti-superhero nonsense. Will wouldn't know romance if it hit him in the face.
I love you.
He thinks again, testing it out, except Will is still hovering in his mind's eye, and somehow it feels different. He almost can't breathe with it. His heart is racing with it. There's a knock on the door, and Mike almost jumps out of his skin, as if someone could walk in and know the thoughts Mike was having. Nancy shoots up from sleeping and reaches under her pillow as if for a weapon before looking around and realizing where she is, namely, next to a 6-year-old. What? She starts, bedhead frizzing out in all directions. I got it, Mike says, pushes out of bed, crosses the room, and opens the door. Elle is there, with Will just behind her, Joyce, Hopper, and Jonathan behind them. We're leaving, Eleven says. We wanted to say goodbye. Early flight, Joyce adds apologetically. Nancy bursts out of bed, and in less than 2 minutes, they're all outside in the cold spring morning, hugging. Mike's got deja vu from the last time the buyers left Hawkins, and it makes him queasy. Elle kisses him, and Mike only pulls away early because he feels tears on her cheeks, or so he tells himself. Eleven pulls away and starts to get in the car as the others wrap up their goodbyes. And then Mike catches Will's eye, and Mike thinks, a little bit, fuck it, and pulls Will into a desperate hug, burying his face into Will's shoulder, Will's neck. Inhales, exhales, doesn't cry. He lets himself have it for a beat, two beats, and then pulls away as stiffly as he'd come. Mike avoids Will's eyes completely once he's pulled away, studying the pavement. See you, then, Mike says, and carefully puts distance between them until Will gets in the car, and that distance grows and grows and grows. Chapter 2, The Heart. It comes up on the phone one day. Mike doesn't even remember what they were talking about when Mike joked about Elle commissioning more art from Will, and Mike's world grinds to a halt when Eleven says,
"What is a commission?"
Mike doesn't mind explaining. You know, when you have an artist do work you want, like you and Will with the painting.
What painting?
Will's painting? Mike says, unsure of where the confusion is coming from. With the dragon and the party and the heart?
Will wouldn't show me his painting, remember?
Eleven says.
That's nice, though. I'm sure it was really good.
Elle is saying something else, but Mike's ears are all static. Her voice over the phone grows distant because all Mike is hearing over and over is the rushed out way Will had said that Elle commissioned it. Why would he lie? Elle moves on with the conversation, but the thought lingers. It lingers through dinner. They're staying with his dad's side of the family just outside of Indiana until his parents can figure out what's next. The thought lingers through his shower and nightly ritual, long after he's tucked into bed with the lights off, staring at the ceiling again. Will wouldn't show Eleven the painting, because Eleven had said he was acting weird about it. She thought it was for a girl. He remembered reading that letter when he first got it, rereading that line over and over, and feeling a sinking feeling in his stomach he wouldn't identify. He wants to dig up the letters, reread the line, overanalyze it until it lost all meaning. Will could have worked on multiple paintings, obviously, but that didn't explain why Will had said Eleven told him to draw when she had never seen it. It didn't explain anything. Something in him is simmering, hot, and bubbling under the surface over the next few days. At first, it's confusion. Why would Will lie? But then it's anger. How much had he lied about? And why would Will lie to him? They're supposed to be friends, best friends, and yet. So it bubbles and bubbles until it boils over, and in a rare moment of no one else in the overcrowded, extended Wheeler family household, Mike dials the buyers. Four rings later, Mike is shaking, and Jonathan answers. Hey, it's Mike.
Oh, Mike, I'll go grab Elle.
Jonathan starts. Oh, I was actually... Is Will there? There's a beat. A beat that lasts just a tad too long to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Jonathan says, something like suspicion ringing in his tone.
Is everything okay?
Mike prickles at that. Yes? A sigh.
Okay, hold on.
A click of the phone being set down. After a long moment, Mike trying to steel his nerves, there's more sounds of movement, and then...
Hello?
Will's voice does something weird to him, sends a jolt down his spine, and soothes it all at once. Hey, Mike breathes. What's up? Will sounds hesitant.
Not much. Is everything okay?
Why does everyone think something has to be wrong for me to call you? Mike complains.
No, it's just you haven't really called me before everything, so what do you mean, everyone?
Just Jonathan. It doesn't matter. Look, I just want to say hi to my best friend. Is that so crazy? There's a beat, and Mike hates the distance between them, the crackle of his voice over the phone not quite right, hates not knowing what Will's facial expression is right now. Wide eyes and earnest, or closed off and withdrawn.
No,
Will says finally, and his tone is carefully even, revealing nothing. Mike hates it. Wants to grab him and shake him and say, tell me what you're thinking.
Not crazy at all.
They trade updates. The Wheelers are with family for now, while his parents are looking for houses in a town that's not being quarantined by the government and full of toxic contaminants in the air. The buyers are fixing up their destroyed house in Lenora to resell it, moving back Midwest somewhere, but currently undecided. And, of course, everyone who knows about things is thinking about the looming fight that they know they'll have to return for. You're still painting? Mike asks, cautious and casual, not sure how to move the conversation toward what he really wants to ask.
Oh,
Will says, a pleased kind of surprise, and Mike can imagine pink spreading out over his cheeks like a sunset, and wishes again he were there with a Will he could see and touch.
Not really. I guess I need to start with my next big project.
Mike's stomach swoops, and he knows this is it. He has to say it. He has to know. Will, says Mike, you're painting. You know it's amazing, right?
It wasn't anything, really. I mean...
No. Really. It's amazing. Mike swallows hard. I love it. I really love it. It feels intensely true in that moment, and just as intensely important that Will understand it. Silence fizzles over the line for a long moment, and Mike worries that Will can hear the way his heart is pounding, can sense the way the admission makes him feel sick.
Thank you, Mike,
Will finally says. It's so soft, Mike almost chickens out. He doesn't want to disturb it, this moment. But Mike's always been good at fucking things up when it comes to Will. I know you didn't tell Eleven what to paint. He blurts it out and it lingers in the silence.
What?
She told me she hadn't even seen the painting, Will. Why do you lie?
I didn't lie.
Bullshit.
Okay, she didn't tell me what to draw, but it's... Look, I know how Elle feels about you, Mike, and it was what you needed to hear, okay? It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Why?
Mike almost laughs. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Because Mike's brain has been an endless loop of, you're the heart. Elle needs you, Mike, and she always will. And it suddenly feels so important that he know where those words came from, who they came from. It suddenly feels like the most important thing. It just does, Mike says.
It doesn't change anything. What I said was true.
I'm the heart. It almost comes out mocking.
Yeah,
Will says.
You've always been.
That's bull.
Just because it didn't come from Elle doesn't mean it's-
No, listen to me, says Mike. And he doesn't have to think to know what words are going to come out. He doesn't need to garner courage or steel himself. It just tumbles out like it's been waiting for permission. I'm not the heart, Will. You are. You were always the one keeping the party together, keeping me together, and the party fell apart because you were gone. It's always been you.
That's just not true, Mike.
It is, though. It's probably the one thing Mike knows to be true. There's a long moment before Will's exhale sounds.
Agree to disagree.
It's a few more minutes before Mike can't find any more excuses not to hang up, and after he does, he goes to fall face first into the couch. It's always been Will, he thinks. And it's terrifying. scarier than Demogorgons and alternate dimensions, because Mike knows exactly what it means. Chapter 3. Love. The next month is a whirlwind, which is Mike's excuse for putting off breaking up with Eleven. But the Wheelers are moving into a new house, in a new town in Indiana, far enough away from Hawkins to feel safe and new. Dustin's family moves to the area too, which is cool, but most of the people of Hawkins are split up across the Midwest after the forced evacuation. Hawkins will never be Hawkins again, and that's that. So Mike goes through the motions of packing, moving, unpacking, and he tries not to think about this horrible truth he's come to know about himself. He barely calls the buyers, barely writes Eleven, because it feels too much like lying. Instead, there's the stupid painting. The painting. Still one of his only personal memories from the Hawkins house, the only thing put up on his new bedroom wall. He stares at it, strokes over the surface of the paint with the tips of his fingers sometimes, imagines each layer of paint will pressed into the canvas. Here's what he comes back to that day in the van. Will, talking about Elle, about the painting. He'd been so caught up with worrying about Elle that he hadn't really processed it, questioned it. You make her feel like she's not a mistake at all, like she's better for being different. And if she pushed you away, it's because she was scared of losing you, just like you were scared of losing her. And if she was gonna lose you, I think she'd rather just get it over with quick, like ripping off a band-aid. Because on one hand, Will lied about it being Elle. Will said it was what Mike needed to hear, so what if it wasn't true? So what if all of it was a lie? But on the other hand, if the painting was Will's, what if the feelings were Will's too? He quite literally can't let himself believe it, because if he does, he'll end up going back over every conversation they've ever had in his brain, turning it over and over and examining it from every angle. And Mike's already losing sleep thinking about Will. The way his bangs brush his eyebrows, the soft flush of his cheeks, his round eyes unable to hide his emotions. If Mike dares to let himself hope, he'll never get a blink of sleep again. He and Eleven break up on a Sunday. He's already dodged enough of her calls to feel like a complete shithead, so when Nancy answers the phone and says it's for him with a meaningful and judging look, Mike stops finding excuses and takes the phone with the gravity of someone accepting a lethal weapon or divorce papers. Nancy gives him another look and clears the room, and Mike doesn't understand how she always knows everything, or how that isn't exhausting for her, but whatever. He answers the phone. They make small talk, trade how are yous. It's awkward. But when it comes down to it, this is how it goes. Eleven, I love you. Instinctive, reflective, she responds,
I love you too.
Wait, Mike says, clenching his fists around the phone.
I'm sorry, but I need to say this.
Mike can practically hear her straighten up, going serious.
Mike?
I do love you, Mike says. I've always loved you.
He takes a deep breath.
But, exhales, shaky and slow. I don't think I love you. This part gets stuck in his throat. The way I'm supposed to. The way you want me to.
You don't. What are you saying?
I care about you so much. I'm always going to love you, but the way I love Lucas and Dustin, you know?
And Will?
Mike's voice cracks.
Yeah, and Will.
Does this mean...
Elle says cautiously.
You are dumping my ass?
They share a soft laugh, and Mike is swept up in relief that they would still be able to do that. Mike says,
well, I don't know if I'd put it like that.
Mike.
Elle says.
I understand.
Yeah?
I do. I have been trying to learn about myself, figure out who I am. I learn something new every day. You are still learning too.
She pauses, hesitates.
We can still be friends, right?
Yes, Mike rushes out. Yes, Eleven, of course. You'll always be my friend. When Eleven speaks, it sounds like she's smiling.
And you will always be mine.
In the end, they make it 3 months from their fight with Vecna before it's time to do it again. The gang reunites in Hawkins at Hopper's cabin, so reminiscent of that day when they first fixed it up and it snowed toxic upside-down particles across the town. They're all hugging, all bittersweet over being reunited under these circumstances, happiness mixed with fear and anticipation. Will is beautiful. It's almost breathtaking. It's the first time he's seen him since realizing what it all meant. And even if he thinks he's felt this way for maybe forever, it's different knowing what it means. Feeling his heart racing, face warming, stomach twisting, and knowing exactly why. Letting himself feel it for once, instead of stamping down on the thought. For a second, it terrifies him, knowing this about himself. Feeling all this for Will. While the others are divided between catching up and strategizing, Mike gravitates toward Will like a magnet, that ever-present pull that keeps Mike wanting to be close to him. They end up outside the cabin, at the edge of the woods, out of sight from the others, their own private slice of forest, and that's when Will broaches the topic.
I heard about you and Eleven, Will says. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's... Mike waves a hand. We're good, you know? It's better this way.
Will is studying him, and Mike's not sure what he's searching for, but his frown says he doesn't find it.
Sure, Will says, finally looking down and fiddling with his shirt sleeves.
I mean, as long as you guys are happy.
Something about that darkens Mike's fluttering feelings and replaces it with concern? Guilt? Because Will has always been selfless, always has been the one to compromise if it meant the good of the party.
And what about you?
Will jerks up in alarm.
What?
And why would a simple question throw Will off guard so much, if not that the thought hadn't even occurred to him?
Sometimes you feel like a mistake.
Are you, like, Mike asks, happy?
She was scared of losing you, just like you were scared of losing her.
I'm fine, Will says.
What is this about, Mike?
Yeah, Mike, what is this about? He can't keep going in circles. He needs to know.
When you said... what you said. In the van.
He swallows hard. Will does the same, and Mike tracks the movement with his eyes before returning his gaze to Will's. Will knows the moment he's talking about, and knows that Mike knows he knows it. All this in a single look, and Mike can't believe there was a day he didn't know he was completely in love with Will Byers.
Were you saying what you thought I needed to hear?
Mike asks.
If it wasn't about Elle, was it about something else? Something.
Will wets his lips nervously.
Else?
Something else. Because Mike stops. He hasn't crossed the point of no return yet, but this is almost it. His last chance to take it back. To pretend he doesn't know the horrible truth of his feelings. Mike takes the leap.
Because if it were you saying it,
Mike rushes out. Will's breath catches on an inhale. Then I'd tell you... Mike's sure neither of them are breathing. He's watching Will's every minute movement, analyzing for some sort of sign, but Will is a deer in the headlights, wide-eyed and frozen. I love that you're different. I'd tell you that... Of course I was scared of losing you. That you're not a mistake. You could never be a mistake. That the best thing I've ever done is still asking you to be my friend that day. That I'm so, so glad you're in my life and that I need you too. Mike, Will says, stop. You have to stop. And Mike must have fucked up. His blood turns to ice because Will is... He looks devastated, heartbroken and raw, eyes shimmering and threatening to spill over, face twisted up. What? You can't say these things. Why not? It's true. No, Mike, I mean, you can't say these things. Not to me. Not when I'm still... He breaks off. He looks miserable. Mike wants nothing more than to reach out and touch him. Instead, Mike challenges, still what? Nothing, says Will. I don't know. No, what? Will, talk to me. Will takes a sudden step forward, and he's close, too close, hands out, gesturing, open and desperate. Mike's brain short circuits. You can't say these things when I'm still in love with you, Mike. It's not fair. Will stops, horrified, then rushes out. And I'm sorry, okay? I'm trying to get over it, and I will, I promise I will, because you mean, our friendship means more to me than anything else. So we can just forget I ever said anything, and I promise I'll make it go away, but you can't say things like that. You can't give me hope when you don't. Mike doesn't remember making the executive decision to move, or sending those signals to his legs and arms, but regardless, there he is. Taking a surging step forward, lifting his hands to cup Will's face, ducking down and kissing him. And once he realizes what he's doing, he doesn't stop himself, just presses in hard, needing to convey somehow to Will just how much he means it. And that's when he realizes Will's just frozen. And Mike leaps away with the dawning horror that he really has fucked it up this time, fully and wholly and without hope for repair. Will is staring at him. Mike scrubs a hand over his face and lingers over his mouth where the ghost of Will's lips were. Mike has stared down bullies and demogorgons and shadow monsters, but here, staring in the face of Will turning him away, he's never been more terrified. You can't just... Will laughs, cold and humorless. Mike, do you have any idea how much I've been turning myself inside out trying to get over you? So just don't, okay? Not if you don't mean it. And somehow, through all the fear and anxiety and uncertainty, there is always the glimpse of light and hope that is Will Byers. Will, who Mike knows like the back of his hand. She was scared of losing you, just like you were scared of losing her. Will, who's afraid of getting hurt. Will, who Mike has hurt in who knows how many ways for who knows how long. Will, who Mike is fervently in love with. Will, says Mike. He inches closer, daring to drift into Will's space, testing the waters. Will is still, but his breath comes in short breaths. His shoulders are shaking. Will, Mike says again. He presses a hand to Will's trembling shoulder. Slides it over, cups his neck. It's dizzying, it's intoxicating, it's everything. I mean it. This time, when Mike kisses Will, it feels like a dam bursting because Will surges up into it like a force of nature. Response instant, lips clumsy but still purposeful, arms threading around his shoulders, tugging him down more to meet him, and Mike is more than happy to oblige. Mike's hand slips from Will's neck to grip his hair, the other clutching his waist, stabilizing him, and everything is all right. It's electric, sparkling, 1,000 times more so than kissing Elle because it's Will. It's always been Will. Mike could laugh or cry or scream, but instead he keeps kissing Will. Minutes or years later, Will pulls back enough to keep their foreheads touching, nose to nose, eyes looking into eyes. Sorry it took so long for me to figure it out, Mike says. Says Will, mouth twisting into a teasing smile, and Mike's heart threatens to pound out of his chest.
Can't say I'm too mad about the outcome.
Mike touches Will's cheek, because he can now. Will leans into it. You know, says Mike, then I'm in love with you too, right? In answer, Will nudges forward and kisses him again. And there are still questions to be answered, problems to be solved, monsters to be slayed. There's still Vecna and the Upside Down, and 1,000 obstacles between them and their happy ending. But whatever might come next, they'd face it together. Author's notes. The Duffers are cowards. Talk shit with me on Tumblr or Twitter, and you can find the links to Queer X Queen's Twitter and Tumblr in the notes below. Please, please, please leave kudos and especially comments. And Podficker's notes. Guys, I love this fic. It is so short and sweet and cute, and honestly, I know the trope of, like, Mike finding out about the painting and the lie and the commission and all that stuff has been done a bajillion times, but, like, I don't care. I will read a bajillion fics about it because it slaps every single fucking time. Anyway, so I really liked this one. You know, like, I don't care about the plot of Stranger Things 5. I don't care about the plot of, like, what's gonna go on with Vecna, what's going on with the Upside Down. Like, this fic is what I'm here for. This is a, I watched season 4 and I'm mad about it, so I'm going to fix this specifically that I'm annoyed about kind of fic. And honestly, that is my jam. I love that shit. So, I really enjoyed reading this fic. And, you know, after the I'd Make a Deal with God podfic took me so long, I just wanted a quick fun little podfic project to do and complete very quickly to, you know, make me feel better about myself. getting into the fic, I love the conversation that Mike has with Elle over the phone. I love that the way that the two of them can just be friends. Like, they can just be friends. Elle is out here figuring out her own shit. Mike is over here figuring out his own shit. Also, the It's Always Been Will-ism of this fic gets to me. It's just really well written. I mean, I cannot write kiss scenes for shit, so this one, Queer X Queen, 100%, great job. You slayed that shit. Also, tidbit of interest for this fic, I got interrupted 50 bajillion times while recording because my dogs wanted attention from me, so I have like 10 minutes worth of edits of, like, dog squeaker toys, dogs barking, the water running from the dog lick. I was so done. I was like, I cannot finish this. Please just let me finish. Okay, yeah, thanks again to Queer X Queen for letting me make a podfic of this, because it's such a fun fic and I really enjoyed it. And as always, I will see you in the next one. Goodbye!